Pray with me. Holy God, you have given us your word. All the worship that we do centers around what you have said to us. The promises that you have made, the truths that you have spoken. As we now, Holy God, come once again to your word, stir up within us and among us the power of your Holy Spirit, that in your word read and proclaimed, truth may be preached, the gospel may be spoken, and your children once again will be reminded of where they are most at home. We pray this through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn with me to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41 can be found in your pew Bibles on page 583. And I'll be reading the whole chapter, so you may find it helpful to follow along. Listen to me in silence, O coastlands. Let the people renew their strength. Let them approach. Let them speak. Let us together draw near for judgment. Who has roused a victor from the east? Summoned him to his service? He delivers up nations to him and tramples kings underfoot. He makes them like dust with his sword, like driven stubble with his bow. He pursues them and passes on safely, scarcely touching the path with his feet. Who has performed and done this? Calling the generations from the beginning. I, the Lord, am first and will be with the last. The coastlines have seen and are afraid. The ends of the earth tremble. They have drawn near and come. Each one helps the other, saying to one another, take courage. The artisan encourages the goldsmith, and the one who smooths with the hammer encourages the one who strikes the anvil, saying of the soldering, it is good. And they fasten it with nails so that it cannot be moved. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Yes. All who are incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. Those who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish. You shall seek those who contend with you, but you shall not find them. Those who war against you shall be as nothing at all. For I, the Lord, your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not fear, you worm Jacob, you insect Israel. I will help you, says the Lord. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Now I will make of you a threshing sledge, sharp, new, and having teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and crush them. You shall make the hills like chaff. You shall winnow them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the tempest shall scatter them. Then you shall rejoice in the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water where there is none, and their tongue is parched with thirst, I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers on the bare heights and fountains in the midst of valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will put in the wilderness the cedar, the acacia, the myrtle, and the olive. I will set in the desert the cypress, the plane and the pine together, so that all may see and know, all may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this, the Holy One of Israel has created it. Set forth your case, says the Lord. Bring your proofs, says the King of Jacob. Let them bring them and tell us what is to happen. Tell us the former things, what they are, so that we may consider them, and then we may know their outcome, or declare to us the things that are to come. Tell us what is to come hereafter, so that we may know that you are gods. Do good or do harm, that we may be afraid and terrified. You, indeed, are nothing, and your work is nothing at all. Whoever chooses you is an abomination. I stirred up one from the north, and he has come. From the rising of the sun, he was summoned by name. He shall trample on rulers as on mortar, as the potter treads clay. Who declared it from the beginning so that we may know? And before him, so that we may say, he is right. There was no one who declared it, none who proclaimed, none who heard your words. I first have declared it to Zion, and I have given to Jerusalem a herald of good tidings. But when I look, there is no one. Among these, there is no counselor who, when I ask, gives an answer. No. They are all a delusion. Their works are nothing. Their images are empty wind. This is the word of the Lord. A few weeks ago, I had the privilege of taking care of my friend Hannah, who's 6 years old. Her parents went on a trip. So I got to brush Hannah's hair and pack Hannah's lunch and quiz Hannah on her spelling words. And one morning, it turned out that we had accomplished all of the things we needed to accomplish in time to have a bit of rest before the carpool came to pick her up. And so Hannah took the opportunity to walk over to the bookshelf and pull off a book and come and say to me, "Will you read to me?" "Of course," I said. And so we sat down on the couch, and I cracked open a well-worn volume of Shel Silverstein's Where the Sidewalk Ends. And I began in the middle, because with a book of poetry, you have that luxury. And I read about the bloth, and the yippee-yuck, and the razor-tailed wren. And then I read this poem. She drank from a bottle called Drink Me, and up she grew so tall. She ate from a plate called Taste Me, and down she shrank so small. And so she changed, while other folk never tried nothing at all. And Hannah, who had been snuggled up against me, quietly listening, suddenly popped up her head and said, "That's about Alice in Wonderland." And I said, "You're exactly right." Hannah had heard the story of Alice in Wonderland enough times so that even though now it was in a different form, she was able to identify it. The story had a different shape and a different cadence, but it was the same old story, and she found it. Tonight, Isaiah serves for us as our Shel Silverstein. Here in his poem, Isaiah tells an old, old story. And if you aren't paying good attention, the poem is so good, you'll just skip right by the story. Isaiah, as most of you know, wrote this prophetic poem for people who were in exile. People who had been picked up and taken away from places like Bethany and Jerusalem and Bethlehem and brought far to Babylon, where they were in captivity. As you know, too, the first half of this book tells them all the reasons why they are in captivity. But then the book takes a big turn at chapter 40, and suddenly it begins with what word? Comfort, comfort ye my people, says the Lord. And the whole second half of Isaiah is filled with images of comfort and nurturing as God comes and says to his people, be not afraid, I am with you here. As we read here from Isaiah 41, but you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Now, the fact that Isaiah uses the words fear and don't be afraid so frequently in these passages here in Isaiah tells us that he was writing to people who were, in fact, afraid. These people were scared. They'd been dragged off from their homeland. They were enslaved in Babylon. They'd been in captivity for a couple of generations by this point. And now he comes along with this poem and they're supposed to just go, oh, everything's going to be fine now, Isaiah. Sure, right, yeah. What God's going to come into the middle of this? And so Isaiah, inspired by the Holy Spirit, prophet of the Most High God, does not just give them a generic, God's going to come and save you kind of poem. He gives them a story woven into the poem, a story that is theirs. This one is specific for the people of Judah. Listen again to verse 14. Do not fear, you worm, Jacob, you insect, Israel. I will help you, says the Lord. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Now, if you know the story of the people of Judah the way Hannah knows the story of Alice in Wonderland, that word redeemer is going to trigger for you another story of redemption, another story about the people of Judah. If it helps, the Hebrew word here, goel, is sometimes translated as kinsman redeemer. Ring a bell? What's the story? Ruth! The story of Ruth is woven into this poem here. In this poem, Isaiah is weaving in images from the book of Ruth. Another story of the people of Judah, another story of redemption, another story where the people go far away and God brings them back home. Listen to verse 15 in addition to the image of the goel. Now I will make of you a threshing sledge, sharp, new, and having teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and crush them. The hills will become like chaff. Now, those of you who know the story of the book of Ruth, where did the big event in the book of Ruth take place? On the threshing floor. And what had Boaz been doing the whole day before he got to the threshing floor? Winnowing! And they get to the threshing floor, and Ruth goes to him in the middle of the night, and she says to him, you are my kinsman redeemer, which is, you have a promise to keep. Because we are people of the covenant, and you are a person of the covenant, and we are relying on the covenant. And right there on the threshing floor, he could have killed her, and he could have upheld the covenant. And that is what he chose to do. The image of the Redeemer, the metaphors of threshing floor, all point to the old Judean story of the Moabite turned Jew. But Isaiah doesn't leave it at that. He also talks about the hand of God. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Now, this was a people in exile, a people believed that the hand of God had been turned against them. At the first part of the book of Ruth, Naomi says those things, those very words to her daughters-in-law. She says, "It is more bitter for me than it is for you, my daughters-in-law, for the Lord's hand has turned against me." And so Isaiah picks up that image, and like he does with the idea of threshing, and like he does with the idea of Redeemer, he turns it right around and says, "The Lord will take your hand." You are mine. The people of Judah hear in this their own story. Their own story of a kinsman redeemer and images of threshing and harvest and the hand of God now holding them up and also the promise of water. In the middle of this prophecy, there are those wonderful images about springs flowing through the desert. And of course, this is a reminder of Exodus. Of course, this is a reminder of when the people went through the desert and water appeared out of nowhere. But it is also a reminder of the story of Ruth. Because in the book of Ruth, the gift of water is what the kinsman redeemer gives to her. When Boaz says, "Whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." Now, before you think that I've gone fishing in shallow waters for all these links between the prophet of Isaiah and the book of Ruth, remember with me that this was a story that they told over and over again. This was the story they told around campfires as children were falling asleep. This was the story that they knew by heart. This was a story about an ancestor from Bethlehem who became a great grandpa to a king. This was a story of royalty, and this was their story, and they knew it inside and out. And just like Hannah with Alice in Wonderland, when this story was woven into a poem, they could pick it out like that. As Walter Brueggemann writes, the word Goel in and of itself was an old familial reference. This was Judah's family story. So Isaiah is coming back to them here in chapter 41, turning everything around and saying to them, "This is your story. This is your story. This is your story, and this is your God. Your God still saves. Your God still cares. Your God has not cast you off. Your God is going to show up. This is your story." And he says to them, "This is your story," which means your story does not end in exile. Your story does not end in suffering, because our God still saves. He pulls the images from their stories to remind them that just as God took Abraham out of Mesopotamia, and just as he took the children of Jacob out of Egypt, and just as he took Ruth out of Moab, so he will take you out of Babylon. This is your story. It does not end in suffering. Now, there are many images Isaiah could have used to communicate what he wanted to communicate here. He could have used the idea of God as shepherd, or God as conqueror, God the king. But Isaiah instead talks to these people about a God who calls the generations from the beginning. A God who takes his children from the corners of the earth. A God who is their kinsman redeemer. Isaiah brings their present reality, their story of sin and suffering, their story of hardship and exile. He takes their present reality and he brings it in line with the story, the story of a God who does not forget, the story of a God who brings his children home. This, he says, is your story. And this is our story. Ruth is my grandma. And Boaz is your grandpa. In the grand narrative of faith, these people are our ancestors. Their courage is what we inherit. This story, because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, this story is our story. These people are our people, and this God is our God. And so our God comes to us today and says, your story does not end in suffering. Your story does not end in exile. We gather for worship here this evening from all the corners of the earth and in all seasons of life. We enter into this space with our worries. We enter into this space with our fears. And we wonder, does God remember me? Me, the one anxious about my child. Me, the one weary in my marriage. Me, the one tired of my church. Does God remember me? Does God care about me? And the word of the Lord comes to us and says, you, Paul, my servant. You, Judy, my friend. You, Lisa, whom I have chosen. You, Keith, whom I have not cast off. You are my chosen children, my promised children. You are not cast off. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not fear, for I am here. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we know that our stories do not end in suffering. Our stories do not end in exile. Because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we already know how this story is going to end. This story ends in resurrection. This story ends in new life. This story ends when all the saints of all times and places gather before the throne and praise the Lamb who has brought our stories into the story. And brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, our grand privilege as people who lead worship, as people who write music, as people who pastor and preach and sit in the pews, our grand privilege is to take our stories and the stories of our brothers and sisters and the stories of our church and weave them into the story. Because this, brothers and sisters, this is our story. And this is our God. Blessed be his holy name. Amen. Will you pray with me? Oh, great storytelling God. We come to you once again amazed by the fact that you do remember. You know our names. You have not cast us off. Our stories do not end in suffering. Oh, holy God, as we stand among the saints of all times and places, remind us that you are a God who never lets his children go, that you always bring your children home. In the name of Jesus Christ, who opens the door and welcomes us in, we pray. Amen.